This last Sunday of our liturgical year, the Church always sets aside for this great feast the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. It is a day to rejoice, to be excited, to claim victory in our King. We wear white, we sing the beautiful music, we acclaim Jesus Christ, crowned King forever. But it's also an interesting day of juxtapositions, weird combinations. Because as we come to the end of our liturgical year and celebrate this end, we also are preparing for the beginning of the liturgical year, next Sunday. We come here today amidst all the pain and sadness of our lives, and yet we're told to rejoice that we are victors, that we have conquered pain and suffering. We come to celebrate Jesus Christ, the King, triumphant, and yet our gospel has him at his seemingly least triumphant hour on the cross. Why these strange combinations? Well, the Church in its year does not go in just a straight line, as it were. We're constantly going round and round and round the same mysteries over and over. The passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the central mystery, and it's as if we just kind of circle around it over and over again. And so as we come to the end of the year and see the culmination, Jesus Christ is King, we are also preparing to see him as a little baby coming in Bethlehem. This idea of the end, the Church uses a Greek word to refer to this in Greek. Eschatos means the end, so eschatology is the word we use to refer to the study of the end times. In fact, this kind of juxtaposition is a teaching in theology that the Church often characterizes as now, but not yet. The kingdom of God is now, but it also points forward towards an eschatos, towards the end, and reminds us that it's also not yet. And it's both at the same time, the end of the year, the beginning of the year. One of the classes at Hayden High School where I was at recently, they were about to take a test in their prayer and sacraments class, and they had their whole little study guide ready to go, and I got to talk to them for a little bit before they took their test, and asked if they had any questions. And one of the students said, yeah, flipping through the study guide, Can you maybe explain the eschatological significance of a church building? I'm like, well, an interesting question that you would ask that. And it's right on her sheet there. But it did give me a chance to talk about two different things that day. The first thing, to think that how does our church building actually point us towards the end, towards the eschatos? How is a church building itself an eschatological sign? Well, one of our professors in seminary is very big into architecture. In fact, he's probably one of the foremost Catholic architecture theologians in the country. And he noted that the door to the church, we go through it so quickly and we think very little because all buildings have doors and we just go in and out, and what does a door really matter? But he pointed out how, especially if you look at the traditional design of a church, not the modern kind of things where we make today where we try to be different, but back when they tried to make all the churches the same, they were signs. He says, if you look at the front of a church, typically what you would see would be a large central door to symbolize the significance of entering that door, and probably two smaller side doors. If you notice, we kind of have that at Most Pure Heart of Mary here. We have three doors. He says that he puts up a slide and he shows us the Arch of Constantine in Rome. It is a triumphal arch. It's a big granite piece of block stacked up with a big central opening and then two smaller arched openings on either side. Constantine put that arch there when he conquered. And it's designed that way because the central arch is where the king, the victor, the emperor goes through riding on his horse, surrounded by all his officers, and then through the smaller doors go all the other people in a grand procession of triumph. The Arch of Constantine in Rome, the Arc de Triomphe in Paris and France were familiar with these kind of triumphal arches. Well, the door to a church building, not a coincidence that in classical architecture it was always designed with a large central door and two smaller doors to be in the form of a triumphal arch. So how is a church building an eschatological sign? Well, every time we go through the church door, we're reminded of that now and not yet. We come to the church every Sunday from the world, from the outside, literally from the profane, from what is before the door. We bring all that, but we come through that triumphal arch as we enter into the church, and the not yet gives way to the now, that the kingdom of God is present in our church building. Here at Mass, it is though we are in heaven, at the throne of Jesus, and everything is right. All the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, we're reminded as we enter through the triumphal arch that we are victors. That's part of the reason for this feast today. Not to say that our fight is done, that everything is okay, but to say that we are victors. We enter our triumphal arch, and we are reminded that Jesus Christ rules triumphantly, and we with him. It's not yet, but it is now. It's both. That's one way that the church itself reminds us of that. The other thing about a church building that I shared with the students, that it forms a sign that points us towards the end, is traditionally churches were always built facing east. East is where, of course, the sun comes up. And as the church faced east together, as we do here in our church at Most Pure Heart, we're reminded that the Garden of Eden, Scripture tells us, was planted in the east. We are reminded that Jesus tells us, just as he ascended to the east, so we will see him coming at the end of time. So if we were to all together look towards the coming of the Messiah, we look towards the east symbolically. It's as if we're at night and we're waiting for the rising of the sun. And we look expectantly towards the horizon, wondering, do you see it? Is that the sun? Is it there yet? We have to be almost like a dog that waits at the door, wondering, is his master home yet? The dog over at Father John Hollinger's house, all I have to do is open the latch on the gate outside, and the dog starts barking because he's listening and he knows somebody's coming. That's how we look to the east. Jesus, the Messiah, is represented by his coming in the east. That's why not only were church buildings built facing east, that's why the vast majority of all the pews in the church, we don't face in towards each other. We are all directed in one direction, facing the coming of the Messiah. That's why up until about 40 years ago, even the priest, everybody faced east. And what was on the wall? The priest wasn't celebrating Mass facing the wall, and he certainly didn't have his back to the people. We all expectantly looked east together, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. No place perhaps shows this better than in the Sistine Chapel of the Holy Father, where on this back wall you have Michelangelo's famous depictment of the Last Judgment. That's the now and the not yet. As we look for the coming of our judge, the king, it also gives us some cause for tribulation and pause to know that as we expectantly wait the end of the world, we do so in need of God's mercy. But on the solemnity of Christ the King, we needn't worry that we should fear the coming of our King. Indeed, as we triumphantly claim victory today, as we expectantly look towards the east for his return in glory, we know that we have a merciful King. Yes, he will come in judgment, but our gospel today shows him at his high point of his reign on this earth, and that is actually on the cross. How fitting on our east wall that we have our sign of victory there, Jesus on the cross. For although kings often demand things of us, and certainly Jesus does, he only demands what is good for us. He wants us to be triumphant in this life and forever. So we know that our King loves us, and that's why he gives us his orders, his rules. But he is also a merciful king. For when we disobeyed his rules, we find that we have a king that actually took our punishment upon himself on the cross. So today we have no fear to proclaim Jesus Christ our King, to enter triumphantly into the now of heaven at this Mass, where as we look expectantly towards the east, we will see the sun rise as the host is raised today in the Eucharist. How fitting, that round host as it rises above the altar in the priest's hands. Perhaps we can see the sun, the King, rising from the east with his healing rays, assuring us of his coming in glory in the future, the not yet, but especially of our triumph now, our triumph in Jesus Christ, our King.